Hello, everyone. This is the 40 is the End podcast, and I am your host, Kat Branch. I am so glad that you stopped by. Every week, I post a show about three of our core areas, faith, family, or fitness, with interviews from inspiring women and segments about how I'm navigating my 40s. As a 43-year young woman, I am just now beginning to embrace the true essence of who I am and allowing the world to be a part of the journey. Feel free to join us every week as we embark upon a new beginning of life over 40 and beyond. And remember, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, especially with a cup of coffee. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's episode. Nika Smith is the creator of the website thegreatbiglife.com. This website serves Christian women who want to experience the spiritual, practical, and purposeful path in their everyday walk with Christ. There she talks about spiritual, emotional, mental, and relationship wellness. She has been helping people in many roles as a professional counselor and therapist, corporate trainer, facilitator, author, and more for close to 20 years. Even though she's been blessed to serve others in all walks of life, she has still struggled in life, love, career, and finances. She says, "God had a great big life waiting for me, but I wasn't aware of it. I was going along my own path, which was good, but not great." She goes on to say that in order to transition her from good to great, God stripped her of the unnecessary so he could equip her with the essential. Right before she turned 40, God began to transform her life. He made her extremely uncomfortable and isolated so that she could surrender and turn her full attention towards him. Though it was not a fun or easy journey, she does not regret one second of it. And just as God used the uncertainty and detours in her life to help her find her God-given purpose, she believes he is using the challenges in her life to create something great for others. So in response to God's healing, the Great Big Life was developed. She works to equip you with practical resources to find meaning and purpose every day so that you can live victoriously for Christ no matter the challenge. She prays that you find resources on the site that will draw you closer to Christ and allow you to experience his love without boundaries. What's up, y'all? This is the 40 is the End podcast, and I am your host, Kat Branch. This week's episode, I am happy to announce that I have on the podcast my bestie. Yes, y'all, she's back. Nika from The Great Big Life. It's nikasmith.com, and I believe thegreatbiglife.com. I know you're going to correct me because I always mess it up.
That's right.
Okay, so thegreatbiglife.com, but yes, Nika Smith is back. I had her on last year, and it was like one of the first episodes that I released when I started the podcast, and it basically shared how we came to know each other in our relationship, and we have been basically besties but sisters over 20 years. So I'm so grateful to God that she's on the podcast today to share what's going on in her life, products that she's putting out to help people to find their purpose. So welcome back, Nika.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited about today's episode. I'm really excited. So thank you so much for being generous enough to allow me on your platform.
Well, You already know. We're going to be a little bit more formal in this podcast today than we normally are. But if you want an inside, a little bit of insight on our relationship, go back and listen to the original podcast where she was on, and we had an in-depth conversation about how we came to know each other. And I will link that podcast in the show notes of this episode. But anyway, getting back to today's topic, what Nika is sharing today is the progression of purpose, the five phases that reveal your divine assignment. And I know that for me, my purpose is something that I have probably known for a while now, but like anything, we have challenges and things happen that kind of impede that. And so today, Nika is going to be sharing with us the process that we go through as we, cultivate our purpose or start to really walk in our purpose.
Yeah, you know, the progression of purpose is about the fact that, because one, just my firm belief is that you don't have to go outside of you to find your purpose. You know what I mean? You hear all the time people say, find your purpose. You know, I'm looking for my purpose. I'm trying to find my calling in life. I'm trying to find this. You don't have to go anywhere because God has already implanted it inside of you. You already have it. The issue is that there's so much stuff, right, that we have, that so many things that have happened to us, so many things we've experienced. We have so much knowledge of the world and all of these different things. And so our purpose becomes either clouded or really it's buried, right? It's buried right beneath all of those things. And so my belief is that it's already inside of you, but our work is to excavate and dig through all of these things to get to who God called us to be. So the progression of purpose is really telling people, listen, you already are walking in your purpose. Mm-hmm. You probably don't know it because you can't see it. You don't feel it. Your life does not resemble anything like that. But helping people recognize where are they in each phase and season. Because I believe, and if you just read the Bible, you get to see that there are phases, like he shows you the phases. He shows you the seasons and the times. I think a lot of times we feel like God is like real ambiguous, you know what I mean? Like he's never really clear, or we don't really know. But he really is a very precise, you know, we serve a precise God, you know? Mm-hmm. We serve a God who's very precise about things. It's just we're not in tune. And so he really gave me this, these phases, honestly, just reading his word and just, you know, really through the spirit and basically to help people, you know, not just, okay, I'm finding my purpose, but how do I go through all of these phases so that I can take possession of what God has called me to.
Right. Right. Well, so I guess if we just jump right into progression or first phase of the progression of purpose, you have here promise.
Yeah, so promise, so this is the phase where God either like gives you a specific purpose, like a specific promise, like he tells you this is the thing you're going to do, right, or these are the people you're going to impact, or this is the place you're going to influence. He specifically says, Catherine, you're going to help transform women's lives through running and coaching. He specifically says to someone else, you know, you're going to have, you know, three sons, and this is the legacy you're going to leave. So God, you know, he's going to give you a specific promise. But he also gives us biblical promises to stand on too, right? So it may not necessarily be what I just said, that divine non-negotiable assignment, right? That's really what that is. That's the promise. But sometimes he'll give you words to stand on from the Bible during a particular season in your life. That is also a promise. which is also divine and non-negotiable if we stand on it, right? So the promise is, you know, what, you know, basically God says that this is what's going to happen when you get to the promised land and to take possession. And when when I post this on my site, when I write, and I want to have this up by the time this episode airs, I have a master class for this, but you get to see, I show you the phases. So it starts over at the promise, and then at the very end is possession. And you see, like, the promise is way on the other side of taking possession, because there's work to do through that. But, yeah, so that's what I mean when I say the promise in your progression of purpose. That's really the first place God starts. He has a promise over our lives.
And it's so funny because as I'm sitting here thinking about, I know that one of the promises that I knew, like, from being a teenager, probably even younger than that, in middle school, that I wanted to, I had this desire to have a son. And I did not know where that came from. You know, I'm my mother's only child, so it was one of those things, which, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, naturally you would think, oh, she would want a girl since, but I, you know, I wanted a son. And then to when I got pregnant, I knew I was having a boy. And the craziest thing is that, as I don't know, I think I've shared it here on the podcast, I'm married. And when I got married, you know, I was blessed with a bonus daughter, but I had a lot of my own issues as a 25-year-old woman that I had to work through, and didn't even know that I had to work through those things. It just showed up in me not being the best stepmom that I could be, because I had a lot of insecurities because I did not grow up with my own father. But I said that to say is that even though God had promised me or said to me that I would have a son, I had to go through a period of transformation. Like, there are other things that come about to get you to that place. You know what I mean? And my relationship with my daughter had to go through many different phases. It has not always been the best, but I think that now, and that, you know, me as an adult being the most responsible for that, you know, obviously, but now I can see how, even though, you know, I struggled in that relationship, how it was still a part of that promise. Because I had to go through that to become, I had to be this stepmom in order to become who I was meant to be for my son. So I tell her now, you know, I wouldn't be the mother that I am to him had it not been for having her in my life.
Wow. You know, that what that makes me think about is when we were talking the other day about, you know, how God turns our mess into a masterpiece. Like, we see it as a mess. We see it as a mess. Like, oh my gosh, this is so much. But, you know, how he carefully, intricately orchestrates this, you know, beautiful masterpiece, you know, that you never would have imagined would have happened, right? And so, like, that's what, you know, as we talk about promise, and one of the, and for every phase of this progression, there's a there are tasks we need to complete. And so, in order to really hear about your promise, you gotta the task is to be attention, to have attention, and to be aware, or to attend and to be aware. You gotta pay attention to your life. That's the thing, like, learning to pay attention. And so, as you were talking about that, somewhere along the line, you realize, like, I gotta pay attention to my life. And you think, you know, especially when you're not, I know this podcast is 40 is the end. And so, you know, when we're in our 20s and our 30s, even, a lot of stuff we're just not paying attention to. We're just doing, you know, just acting and doing off of subconscious, unconscious programming.
Surviving.
Right. We're just surviving, you know. And so, and again, survival is definitely unconscious. you know, definitely
Right.
unconscious. And so you're just going and doing and not really in a place of where you can, where you allow yourself to attend and to be aware, because it's there. God allows us that space. It's just, are we going to take it? Are we going to use that space to be able to listen to him? And so, again, in my own, you know, life, the promise that God gave me, you know, I feel like God had been telling me that for a very long time. I was afraid to take it on because, you know, as they say, and that's the other thing, too, about promises, that, you know, God's going to give you something bigger than you. He's going to give you something that you're just like, oh, no, you better get somebody else. You need to find somebody else, Lord. I ain't going to be able to do all that, you know. And he's like, I know, you're not, right? Because what do they say? He does not call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And when you receive your promise, you know, you have to understand that it is going to be bigger than you. It is going to be more than what, you know, you can handle. It is going to be something that is beyond you. But that's the point. If you can do it in your own, do it on your own without God, then you don't need it. It's not really a promise. You don't need it. You don't need God. You know? Promise is supernatural. You know? It is beyond the natural. It is beyond where you are than what we can see, touch, taste, and feel. So that is why learning, you know, in this phase, learning to hear from God. I hear people all the time say, and I know because I've been there and I get it, I'm having trouble hearing from God. I'm having trouble discerning if this is God's voice, if it's my voice, if it's somebody else's voice. But the thing is, God is always speaking. He's always speaking, and so our task is to learn how to attend, get quiet, and reflect, and become aware. Because it's inside of you, it's there. So that's the promise phase. All of them are important, but that's, you know, that's where we start on the journey.
Right. So, in looking at the next progression, we have number two is the problem. And so as I'm sitting here thinking about that, I shared with Nika maybe a couple of weeks ago that, as everybody knows, I will be I've started back running, been running consistently for the past 2 to 3 months, and in preparation for marathon training that officially begins July, the month of July. And so my intention was to run a marathon. This is just something that I wanted to do, to be one and done. And about 3 weeks ago, I think it was 3 weeks ago, it was either the first Sunday or the second Sunday in April, I was in church, and I had already shared with Nika that my faith goal, which she talks more about over at The Great Big Life, my faith goal was to go through marathon training without any injuries. And so I know that, again, that's something like you just talked about. That's, you know, I can't do that on my own. I'm going to need, I need God for everything, but I'm dang sure going to need God for that, right?
Right.
And so I shared with her that, and I knew that there were things that I would need to do also to make sure, obviously, I'm stretching, hydrating, eating properly, and that type of thing. So, again, back to me being in church, I hear clearly the Lord telling me that this is not my only marathon, that this is going to be a yearly thing, that I'm going to run a marathon every year. Clearly, like somebody sitting next to me and talking to me. And so I'm almost in church looking around like, who, God? No, I'm not. Not me. I said I'm doing one. And so then, I mean, I felt that thing so much. And I remember as I was going to tell Nika that Monday, But I said, no, I'm not going to call her. And I didn't call her, obviously, because I knew what she was going to say. But fast forward to that Monday, I'm talking to myself all day, rationalizing, okay, God, I do a marathon every year, a half marathon, I can do that. But a full 26.2 miles every year, uh-uh. Who wants to train for a marathon every year? And so, again, then I pick up the phone. I finally call Nika and tell her. And she'll probably share more about what she actually said to me. But the biggest thing about that is over that patch, since he said that to me, okay, I have started to do things that hindered myself. I almost felt like I was losing control. I was eating a little bit too much sugar. I was, and not even realizing what I was doing. I just felt out of control. And so I feel like it's that. And now that I recognize it, I've been able to, okay, Lord, help me. Okay, get me back focused. Because it's almost like immediately my internally I started to resist that. I know this is what he's told me to do, but now my problem is now that subconsciously I'm resisting that.
Right. Yeah, that definitely, you know, that's a part of, you know, the purpose piece, because usually, like, once you get the promise, then there's the problem, or as I like to say, problems, because, you know, your life is not, it is going to look totally opposite of what the promise is.
Mm-hmm.
And let me say this, I didn't say this from the beginning, but this really progression is from the Israelites and their journey from bondage to the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you read, and I suggest everybody read, obviously, you know, read the whole Bible if you can. I'm still working on that. But definitely from Exodus through to Joshua, because that will give you everything. Once you read that and you look at what I wrote, I mean, because it's from the Word, it really is about how we go through these phases. But anyway, the Israelites, they got, you know, they wanted to get out of Egypt. They were in bondage, right? Lord mm-hmm. Jesus, you know, they cried out to the Lord, get me out of Egypt, you know? And he got them out. And as soon as he got them out, here come the Egyptians, because they changed their mind about letting them go. Of course, remember that. Mm-hmm. And they became afraid, and, you know, they, you know, God, of course, you know, parted the Red Sea, and then they were in the wilderness, which was, you know, the place that nobody ever wants to be, but everybody got to go.
Mm.
Everybody's going.
Right.
And to get to the promised land. And you don't, because here's the thing, God could tomorrow decide, oh, you're going to run a marathon tomorrow, Catherine. He would do it.
Right.
No injuries, no word about sweet stuff, no. That's not how God works. You're not equipped to run the marathon tomorrow.
Right.
You have to be equipped for that. And the Israelites, when they got in the wilderness, had to become equipped to take on the promised land. So when they got to in the wilderness, they didn't have any food. You know, we hungry, Lord. It's hot out here. You know, here comes some, you know, the Egyptians trying to get us. I mean, this does not look like the promised land. What is this? Where are we? What is going on? And that's the thing about to recognize, and I think that's where a lot of people get stuck. So a lot of us get stuck, and we live in the problem, or we take up residence in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. So the problem phase is really the phase where God's promises seem untrue. They seem unreal because of the obstacles that you're facing. And so you begin to question whether God really made this promise to you, or did you just make it up? Right. Did I make this? Because I know I've said this to myself before. Like, Lord, did I make this up? Because this does not look like the land of milk and honey. You know why? Because it's not the land of milk and honey. You're not there yet. And so as believers, we have to be real. We've got to be better about living from a kingdom perspective and not from a worldly perspective when it comes to our challenges and our problems. Right? We have to do a better job because, again, our seasons and times, you know, God's seasons and times are not the same as the world's seasons and times, right? How he decides things are going to go, or when they decide, when he decides something's going to be. He can give you a promise right now to say anything, and it might not happen for 10 years. It might happen in 2 or 3, you know what I'm saying? But he decides that. He decides what you're going to need to grow into the person he needs you to go through to get to that phase. But the thing about it is people stay too long, I believe, because they're not paying attention. That's why paying attention is important, to understand what season, what phase you're in. You got, because this is not arbitrary. God is not arbitrary. He's clear. So you got to say, okay, where am I? And so the task here in this particular phase is belief, right? Your task in this phase is belief of not only who God is, but what God can do, right? Because I say this all the time. People believe God. They believe there is a God, there is a Jesus, there's a Trinity, there's a Holy Spirit. They believe it. They believe all this stuff that happened over in the Bible. That's real good. Did you read about Moses? Did you read about Paul? Did you read about? But they don't believe that it's true for them.
That's it. That's it. And that is where I am at with that. I'm gonna do this every year. Like, and the craziest thing, like this week I ran 3 miles nonstop after
Awesome.
having not run, like it took me 8 weeks. I trained for 8 weeks, and even in that process, sometimes I wanted to go further, but I said, no, follow the training because this is going to be a long road. It's a marathon. Don't look, sis, you have not arrived. You better
Woo.
take them reprieves when it says stop, stop. When it says time to go, run. But when it tell you to take a break, sis, because it's going to be a journey. And it's
Right.
just like obviously with life, but and when I'm out there doing it, it's like it's a mind thing, and it's like making sure, what does the scripture say, renewing your mind daily, because when my mind is detached from God,
Oof.
I'm crazy. Like, y'all listening to the 40 Years Again podcast, Cat is crazy.
Crazy. True.
But with God, I'm good. I'm
Right.
good. So it's again realizing that I am not my own. Like, I cannot do this without him. If he said this to me, okay, God, you said this. I need to write this down and put it up and see it everywhere. Like, I haven't done that yet, so I need to do that this weekend. I need to put this everywhere. I am a marathoner for life. You know, until he tells me different. This is what I'm doing. And it's just like you just said, it's like we have to know that that resistance, you said it the other day on the phone. If you ain't got no problems as a believer, you on the wrong team.
Yeah, you got a problem.
Right.
If you don't have any problems as a believer, you got a problem. We are not called to comfort. That is not what we're called here for. This is not it. Like, we're called, God calls us to build our character. You know what I mean? We're not called to comfort. I used to say all the time, I know we talked on the phone about this the other day. Well, not all the time, but I say it like when I graduated from college, like, you know, I don't want to be rich. I just want to be comfortable. You know, I just want to be comfortable. I just want to, you know, have a nice life, house, car, kids, husband, you know, the whole nine yards. And, you know, and I didn't get all of those things, but I got, in terms of, I had a comfortable life, in terms of financially and, being able to do the things I want to do and buy the things I wanted to buy. But I was spiritually numb because I was comfortable. And if Satan can get you a place where you're spiritually numb, then he's won, right? He's winning. She got everything she wants. He got everything that he needs. So now, he's not gonna, or she's not going to go towards God. She's not gonna submit. She doesn't need to, because she's got everything. And that, my friend, is a problem. That's a problem. So if you're going through some struggles and some things that you about to pull your hair out about, good. Good. Because that's when we call on him, right? That's when we submit to him. That's when we have fasting and prayer and devotion, and we see things, that we didn't see about God. My problem, God gave me the promise that I would be called to the nations. I mean, he had to repeat that thing over and over again through people I didn't even know. And the next week, like days later, I get this promise. My car is, I don't know what's really going on with it at the time, to make a long story short. And I think I mentioned this. I don't think I mentioned this in the last podcast, but my mechanic, essentially, who I've known for 10 years, best relationship, stole my money, thousands of dollars, stole it. And left my car behind, gated his shop along with other people's cars, and she stole other people's money, all of these different things. So I couldn't get and go anywhere. So I'm like, Lord, you say I'm I said, Lord, you telling me I'm called to the nations and I can't get to Decatur. Now, you need to know where I live to understand my proximity from Decatur. So I live near Stone Mountain, Georgia, and Decatur, they're like 5 miles apart. Like, you don't even know when you leave one to the next. So I'm like, how am I gonna be called to the nations? I can't get to Decatur. You gotta help me, Lord. Like, you, it's basically like, I'm called to the nations. I'm called to serve the people all over the world, but I can't get across the street. You know what I mean? Because I don't have, my transportation. I don't have the thing that that you should have to do what I believe you're telling me to do. But again, we'll get that to another time, but our God's perspective is different from ours. But that my life did not look anything like what the promise was. Nothing at all. Nothing. And that was the time I had to learn to believe, like, not just believe, not have what they call historical faith, believe the stuff that actually that happened in the Bible, believe that it actually happened. I had to have his faith. I had to really believe God, who was who he said he was and could do what he said he could do for me. For me. Not somebody, because I could look at your life and say, well, God will do that for her. You know what I mean? It's good. And I could jump up and shout and scream and, look at God for them. But I didn't always believe that for myself. I didn't always believe that. And so that's the work, that's real work in the problem phase. The problem is not just about your problem. It is about you learning to believe that God is who he says he is and can do what he says he can do for you.
Amen. So we got the problem. I mean, we got the process. Okay,
Now, we don't have the process yet.
the promise. We got the promise. He done told me, okay, Kat, this is what you about to do. You about to run marathons every year. That's what you're gonna do. That's what that's gonna be your purpose. And I'm gonna add. And then after I tell you that, then you're gonna get crazy. You're like, no. Gonna feel confused, thrown upside down. But again, like you just said, hey, I gotta remember that I'm of this world but separated from this world, so I got to look at these problems a little bit differently. Because anytime he gives me a promise, there's gonna be some resistance. And I got to be mindful of that. I got to stay ready. Got to always be aware. Like you said, I got to be paying attention. So then now, okay, in your step three, you say, okay, now we're talking about the process. So what does that look like?
So the process, this is the phase where you're going to get your instruction, your clarity, your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding about what you're going to do or what it's going to be like in the promised land. So this is where you really got to learn to stop fighting the process, surrender to the process, and embrace the process. The process is, once, and this is the place where you got to lean into the problem phase. You got to lean into whatever it is. You got to lean into, okay, well, this is it. If this is what you call me to, if this is my life, it don't look like a promise now. Mm-hmm. It don't look nothing like it. I'm here for a reason. So I'm going to lean into this. And when I say lean into, leaning into God, like leaning into his word, leaning into that, because usually it's a place of somewhere he's trying to isolate you in a sense, you know, and not necessarily, you know, I mean, I was definitely for real isolated, but some people, it may not be that way from them, but there's going to be certain isolation. It may be from certain people. It may be from a certain roles, or jobs, or, you know, it could be a myriad of different things, food, who knows, but, he's going to, cause he needs you to stop fighting. So you just start surrendering to this thing. And again, that the instruction and the clarity that you get in that phase is key, right? Mm-hmm. It's key to taking possession. And again, you know, and this is what I really want to impress upon people, anybody that's listening, is that this is like, you're not only in your purpose when you take possession.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you're in it now, even in the problem phase, like, you're in it now. You're digging. You're excavating. You know what I mean? You are, you know, you're on assignment. That's what I want you to know. Like, you're on assignment. Don't think you aren't on assignment because things don't look the way you think that they should look. You're on assignment. Your problem is to get on assignment. That's your task. You got to get. Here's the assignment, but you're not doing the work. So you're on assignment. You have to get on assignment. God has given it to you. And so in the process, he begins to lay out instructions. So when you go back again to the Israelites' journey, in the wilderness is where they get the Ten Commandments. It's where they get all of these instructions. Like if you read Numbers, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, it's all about instructions, and people don't like to read those books because they kind of like who want to read a book about numbers? But it's important. God, like, you know, we like to skip over stuff in the Bible. You know what I mean? We like to skip over stuff because it's too hard to read. It's too much, Lord, or it's too boring, or it's too. If it's in there, it's purposeful. The reason it's in there, and so when you read those books, he's giving the wisdom and the instruction. And when you go back, when Moses had to go up, you know, on the mountaintop, and he, the first time he got the instruction, and he took too long, guess what the Israelites start doing? They built with the golden calf, start serving somebody else. You know what I mean? They start doing their own thing. And that is what we got to be careful of when things aren't going at the pace that we believe they should, that we're not careful of trying to do our own thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or trying to rush the process.
Right.
Or trying to insert ourselves in a place where God didn't tell you to insert yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because you're not ready to take possession. And so the Israelites there, they had to learn how to take possession. You know, they had to understand these rules. What they really had to learn, really, honestly, what the process is about, is learning how to serve God. Because he taught them, the Ten Commandments is about how, really, you know, I know it says, you know, how to treat your neighbor, all these things, but it's really about how you learn how to be obedient to God.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, the process is really about obedience. It's really about obedience.
And not the craziest thing, but as you're sitting here talking and I'm looking at these points, promise. It's like immediately after you get because again, we think that everything is going to be easy. You know, that it's going to be step one, step two, step three, but then you got all these other things going on while I'm trying to do. So you done gave me this promise, but now you're going to give me a problem. Now you're going to allow a problem? As soon as you give me a promise, I'm going to have a problem? And again, I hear what you're saying. It's like, because in that process, you got to remember that I can't do this based on what, how the world would do it. I have to do it based on surrender to God. So he gave me that problem. Yeah, I'm going to have a problem. And now I need now it's called, that problem is causing me to lean into him in step three for the process.
Right, exactly. Because the process is about endurance and perseverance. That's the task you have to do it, you know, to really make it successfully, you know, to the next phase. And, you know, you could be, and here's the other thing, too, I want to say that you might, at one phase of your life, you might already have taken possession of something. But in the next, you might be in a different part of your life, maybe as a parent or as a employee, as a business owner, as a wife, whatever, you might be over in the problem, right? And so being, again, awareness, where am I? What does this look like? But again, the process is so important because that is where, you know, again, God is speaking. You know what I mean? He's beginning to tell you what it is he wants you to do. And case in point, these five phases, I wrote this in 2016. I wrote this in 2016, and I was in the problem phase. I didn't even know, I hadn't seen any process for vision and perfection. But God had me to, someone asked me to come do a presentation. One of the people who had spoke the promise over my life, ironically, and she wanted me to come to her church and do a women's brunch to speak. And so I said, what can I do? And I, you know, this is what God gave to me. And I went to do it. And this is what I want to impress upon anybody that's listening, is that I hadn't even gone through all of the, like, the stuff that God gave me. I haven't even gone through all of this. I hadn't even walked this path, but I knew it was there. He had told me it was there. So whenever he gives you instruction and he's beginning to give you clarity and wisdom, you're likely not going to be in that place, in that phase. You're likely not going to, you know, it's going to be beyond you, but you're going to be really clear that this is what God has said, and that you're going to be really clear that you're going to be using it. So when I look now, and I can say now I've gone through every one of these phases, but when I wrote it, I hadn't. But that is that's the supernatural of God, you know? And when I pulled this out, because I wanted to, you know, I got it, was, you know, really the Holy Spirit was on me to teach a lesson, like come out and teach lessons, come out and start teaching lessons. And he brought me back to that PowerPoint that I made. And I said, oh man, this is it. Like, this is the foundation. But I didn't just get it when I wrote this recently. I got it almost 3 years ago.
Right.
And so his usefulness is for now in the promised land.
And that's so funny because we talked about that the other day when I was telling you about the running and how I always, like, I attributed to, I didn't start running until I had moved to Jersey when I first got married, moved to New Jersey. That's when I always said that's when I started running. But I actually had the desire to run a mile nonstop back when I was in middle school or high school when we had to do these fit tests and we had to run a mile nonstop. And here I am overweight and, you know, wanting to do it, but just could run. I don't even know if I could run a quarter of a mile nonstop, but it was in my heart. And I was like, oh, if I could just run a mile nonstop, to me, that was being fit. And here I am, bigger than I was then, and now able to run 3 miles nonstop right now at this point
Wow.
today. And so again, he gave me the promise. I have these problems. I've gone now in the past probably 18, definitely 18 months. And I'm still in my process. Now I feel like I know that I'm starting to see I'm entering in a phase where you have here step four, which is the provision.
Yeah,
So
so the
what does provision
provision,
look
go ahead, I'm
like?
sorry.
No, I was going to just say, what does provision look like?
Yeah, so provision is when you see this super, receive like this supernatural supply in an area where you're spiritually lacking. So we always think about provision, of course, of financial or monetary or something like that, or maybe a helping hand from another person. But this is where God endows you with what you're going to need for the promised land, but it's not usually something you believe you're going to need or that you even want, right? So it is something that's unorthodox, right? That God is saying, okay, this is the thing. And so when I think about provision, obviously in the wilderness with the Israelites, I think about the manna and the quail, right? Really unorthodox, definitely supernatural, that came to them, right? That he gave them. But the true provision I believe God gave to them in the wilderness was the ability to learn how to fight and to battle and all of these things, right? Because the Israelites, when they got to the promised land to take possession, they were going to have to learn how need to not learn, they were going to already need to fight. You know what I mean? And because they were slaves in Egypt, they didn't have to fight. I mean, they just did their work and got fed. You know? So in the wilderness, they're having to become mentally, spiritually, and physically strong because they are very weak people, extremely. And so when God is giving us provision, he is supernaturally providing something for us that we don't realize we're going to need. Case in point, just from my own personal experience, I did not think when God had me to start writing and journaling, I just thought he just wanted me to journal. So I would journal. I think the first time I started journal was like 40 days. I would journal every day. Some days I didn't have anything to write, but I said I'm going to write at least four sentences. And then, the things that came out, I was like, wow, this is, the revelations and the things that I got from writing and from, whatever I, would read the word and I would come back and write about it. And then another time he's like, let's do another 40 days. Did it again. The last time was like, let's do 66 days. And I did it again. And then when I looked back at it, I thought, wow, maybe I could share this, And he was like, yeah, somebody else, yeah, this isn't for you, ma'am. Not like, this isn't for you. And what he endowed me with was this ability to write, to encourage and help others on their spiritual journey. That was not, I just, that's not what I felt like I needed at the time. I feel like I needed money. I needed money to pay bills. I didn't need to learn how I need to be writing. I need money. I need to pay my mortgage. I need to get a car. I need grocery. I need to pay my electric, my water. He said, no, you're going to write. You're going to sit here. You're going to be quiet. You're going to write every day. And you're going to get some insights, and then you're going to be able to share this with others. This blog would not, I would not be talking to you about this right here, what we're talking about, had he not made me, but endowed me with this ability to write. Because I am not a writer. I prefer talking. I prefer talking to people. It could be speaking, whatever you want to call it. It could be training, it could be counseling. I just prefer verbal communication. But in the writing is where I know I've been supernaturally endowed to do that. And so here we are. And then the other piece is, you know, I learned all of this, you know, I become like this geek when it comes to digital marketing. Like, it really fascinates me, you know, and I'm fascinated with the word of God and what things means. And so what he's done is put all of that together, you know, put all of that together for me. And that's kind of more a possession, but in the provision is, you know, that's where this happens. And so our task here in provision is to learn to receive this unorthodox provision that he has for you, because it's there. And again, we got to turn on our spiritual eyes and turn on our spiritual ears to receive this kind of provision. Because it's not going to, because naturally you're not going to be able to see it from your natural eyes, not in the beginning, because you don't think you really need it.
I didn't take a breath out of boredom. I took a breath out of,
thank you.
I took a breath out of, because I'm like, that's what running is for me. The running, there is provision in me running. And I don't know exactly what that looks like yet.
Okay.
But that's where it is. My provision is tied. I feel like my provision, and y'all, hey, this is what we normally sound like in the mornings. when I'm like, she talks, and then I have an aha moment, and then we then we go deeper in. But I feel like that's what I hear it saying. You know, I hear him saying that the running, there is provision in the running. And again, I don't know what that's going to look like, but the provision is going to come out of that.
Right. Well, the provision is going to reveal itself. You know, like it's going to let it unfold, right? Mm-hmm. And again, you got to be in a receptive stage, a receptive state, learning to receive, which, you know, that wasn't, it's, and I still struggle with receiving, you know, and but allowing God to give to you, you know, to be in a receptive, you know, state where God is, you know, going to give you that. This isn't something, because remember, it's provision. You don't have to go get it. He's given it to you. And we think about the word pro and vision, provision, like he's already seen it. It's already really done. But again, you don't really know what the promised land looks like for you yet. So you don't really have that vision, right? So you have an idea, and this is, again, for anybody else who's listening, you might have an idea, like, I think, you know, this is it. It's something tied to that. Good, good. You're in a good space. So now be in a receptive state and let God reveal. You don't have to, no pun intended, run after it. He's going to provide that, you know, and it is going to be something you don't even realize you're going to need when you get to the next place. You know what I mean? So many things I didn't even think I would need. Like when I started online, I just started making memes on Instagram. You remember that, Honey from the Rock? I just started making memes on Instagram, you know? But that, you know, I didn't think that would, you know, do anything in terms of helping me. I mean, it didn't, you know, I didn't, my Instagram page didn't blow up or anything like that. But it was really about me learning how to use graphics, you know, and learning how to, you know, use fonts and these different things and, you know, all of this stuff. And that's really what it was for, so that I could next start the blog, right? That I could next start whatever, the next thing. So again, it's not something that you believe you even need, but again, be in that receptive state. Be in that receptive state.
Good. So we got promise. He showed the problems. We went through some problems. The process. We just rounded out with provision. And then step five, finally, possession. And that's what we get excited about. Possession. What am I going to possess, sister? What are we going to possess, Sister Nika? Because, you know,
this is what I say. This is what I say about possession. Yes, that's what we shout, we run, we, you know, somebody get a sheet, put it over us, you know what I mean? Like, that's the place we want to be. Possession is the promised land. This is what we've been waiting for our entire lives. Oh, my gosh, I finally made it. But please understand, this is not the time for rest and relaxation.
Honey?
This is not it. When you're taking possession, it is, again, go read Joshua. You'll see one of the first things they did was that they marched around the city, the walls of Jericho. Remember that? They marched around 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
They blew the horn, the walls fell down. After that, all they did was fight, take possession, fight, take possession, fight, take possession, fight, take possession. That's what they did. And every time God would say, I'll go before you, I'll go mm-hmm. before you, I'll mm-hmm. go before you. But that's what it was. Eventually they did. They got, you know, their place of rest. But stepping into the promised land is a battle, because here's the thing. You're going to encounter old mindsets, old habits, old emotions, old situations that you're going to have to address with your new mindsets, new habits, new emotions that you learned in the wilderness, that you learned back in the problem, the process, and the provision.
Mm-hmm.
You got to pull, you got to, you know, trot them back out. You know, you got to make them, you know, make them who you are. You know, so when you're in the possession phase, you know, you're going to use everything you learned in your previous phases, embody your new identity, and then you enter that promised land of purpose, but you still have to take possession. Because you can be in your promised land and not be take possession of anything and wonder why things aren't working out.
Wow.
Wonder why. You know, well, I'm here, Lord. This is where you told me I'm supposed to be. But you wonder why, you know, things are happening, because you're not trying to battle.
Right.
You don't want to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And so what it was is all of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, all type of ites, you know, in there, and they winning. And so we gotta fight the ites in our own lives. To take possession. And possession is not necessarily, again, the fame, the notoriety, the money, whatever it is. It could be great if it is. But it's, again, this is spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
This is spiritual. This is about the kingdom. Right? So you get to the promised land, you got to take possession of these spiritual things, you know? So, because, again, like, I think we talked the other week, like, I, you know, had this, you know, this paralyzing, like, fear and failure moment, you know, and I knew it was an old, like, mindset coming up. I knew mm-hmm. it. And I went in my prayer closet. I told you, I went in like a lamb and came out like a lion.
Yep.
Because I had to battle that thing. I said, you will not win today. You will not beat me. I win today. I win. You never win, Satan. You can't beat me.
Right.
I have on my armor. You cannot. And so they're going to come back up. And your task here is to step into your new identity. Again, you got to step into it. We're looking for God to do everything for us, man. And here's the thing. Yes, he does everything for us. He's done it. But there's action that we have to take. Everything I say here, when I talk about the task, the endurance, the receiving, the attention, awareness, that's on us. It's our job. And we lay off on our job so much, man, when it comes to this spiritual walk. We lay off. We mess around. We do everything else
right.
but that. And so when you take possession, because I believe that so many people are in there, like you see them. But you feel like you're right there. They are not stepping into their identity.
Mm-hmm.
They're not doing the work. They don't want to fight because it's too hard. It's too much. I'm scared.
Mm-hmm.
What are people going to say? You know? When
right.
God's like, I've already gone before you. Now go get it.
Well, I think that was the doors of the church are open.
That is, I'm so glad you said that because it's so important for, people to know. Like we gotta take possession. It's not anything that's, we have what we need, but it's not given to us. We gotta be doing something. We can't be sitting here waiting on something to be, just dropped into our lap. So I am so excited, for everything that we've talked about today, and it's helped me to really reflect on what it is that I need to do to make sure that I am reflective and accepting of what it is that he has before me, and that I'm paying attention, that I'm always paying attention, and I don't get weary, and what it is that he's called me to do. So, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. Again, guys, this is the progression of purpose, the five phases that reveal your divine assignment. We got promise, problem, the process, provision, and possession here today. And Anika is going to share a little bit more because she's actually releasing a program that is tied to this. And so I'm so glad that she's given us a little, insight, a little preview to what people can expect to, go out and check out this program that she's developed. You want to share more about that, Nika?
Absolutely. It is called the Progression of Purpose Masterclass. It is a 70-minute pre-recorded video session where I go through all these different phases. Of course, a little bit more in depth about what you need to do and, what God is saying, and helping really people really identify where they are, giving them clarity is a key piece of that. You also get a 12-page workbook as well, so you'll fill that out as you go through the master class. And then this is the part I think I'm most excited about. There's a Facebook coaching group as a part of this. So it starts on May 6th, which is Monday. But even if you get hear this video, you get it later, you'll still have access. You'll get all of the videos. But I'm going to be doing starting this week, with the week that's coming, Facebook Live video lessons based on each of the phases, as well as live Q&A. Again, this is a coaching group, so it's not just me just pontificating. Like, I want to really help people walk through this journey. And with that, we can really get deeper into where you are right now in your phase and really kind of dig deeper, because there's so, like, we talked about a lot today, but there's so much more to it. And so yeah, so that what it is, and again, you'll get access to all those videos, so you probably in total will have probably about six videos in addition to the master class, so you're going to get a lot. So if you want to join, you can I'll give you the link to put in your on your site, but then also you can also go to nekasmith.com, that is NECA.com, or thegreatbiglife.com, and you can get it there. And again, if you have any, questions about it, feel free to let me know. I'm excited about this. This is the first time I'm doing something like this, but I know that this is God ordained, and the people who need to be in there will be there. And I'm just ready to rock and roll. I'm ready to set the world on fire.
Oh, yes. Yes, this girl is on fire. Of
We're
course.
ready to help y'all set the world on fire. We are going to do it. We are doing it.
Awesome. So thank you so much again for being a part of the show. I'm sure that someone has gleaned something from this episode today. Again, going on over to her website. Also, you can follow her on Instagram at The Great Big Life and check out this resource. I'm really excited about it. So thank you so much again for being on the podcast. Thank you all for listening today, taking time out of your busy schedules for sharing this with us. And remember, be kind to yourself, be kind to other people, and it's all good because it's all God. Take care, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.